The sermonette today I entitled Recreation. And in the beginning it tells us in the book of Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth, and we'll go there in a minute. But there is an earlier record of creation than the one that we have that is in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. There appears to be, and almost certainly is, a gap in between Genesis chapter 1:1 and Genesis chapter 1:2. Between those two verses, there is some amount of time. We don't know how much time is involved in there, but it's clear from the language there must have been an interruption in all kinds of things there. Here's the first scripture that I thought I would read to you. Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. This is kind of interesting and from a couple of different points of view, because it shows the pre-existence of Jesus Christ, because this happened before Adam. Luke 10 and verse 18. He said unto them, he being Christ, said unto his disciples, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now that says something, doesn't it? I believe that this is like a bolt of lightning falling from heaven, a sudden explosion down onto the earth. I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So that was the event that brought about the end of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, which we'll read in a minute, and led to a period of time on the face of the earth that was dark and destruction and was a very bad period of time as far as the earth is concerned. What we want to do in this sermonette, and we're driving at this as an analogy, we want to look at the very first event that had to occur before God could recreate this earth. Genesis tells us what that event clearly was. But let's look here and see that there must clearly be a period of time between Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. A title that some have given to this very obvious period of time between the two is the gap theory. A theory that there is a gap between the initial creation that the Bible tells us about in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, and when it begins to pick up again in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. And as I said, we don't know what period of time, how long this period of time was, but it's clear that there was quite a, apparently a long time. You know, the physical scientists who examine the rocks and the things that exist on the earth say, some of them, that the earth is probably about 13 million years old. And it may be. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us how old it was before this recreation began, how long the gap theory took, how long the earth existed before Satan was thrown to the earth and destroyed the earth. But it's clear there is a gap. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 reads in the King James, in the beginning, probably might be in a beginning instead of the. When you look at the original Hebrew, there were, for example, no articles. A and the are articles, the three articles that we use continually in the English language. Those three words did not exist in the Hebrew language. You were just supposed to read and understand that, you know, that they might be there. In the beginning, in a beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And there's information that's in this when it says He created the heavens and the earth. It says in the beginning, the word for beginning is resheath. And resheath means in the first time or in the first place at the earliest occurrence. Well, what does that tell us? If there is a first place, there's got to, you know, it's not the only place. We wouldn't call it the first place if it was the only place. And so that's the situation here. It is saying in the first time. That's one of the translations of the word resheath. In the first time, or in the first place, there was something that happened. Elohim, or the eternal God, created the heavens, and the word there for heavens is the sky, and the visible arch in which the clouds move, as well as, it says, the higher ether, where the celestial bodies revolve. And it's telling us that all of those things were there. And it's certainly implying that there was already light on the face of the earth and light everywhere. Astrologers, heaven, and also then it says the earth, heavens and the earth. And so that was what was at the beginning. In the first place. And then we read Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. And it infers without, because it doesn't really tell us that there was a gap. It doesn't tell us that. It just reads on as if this is still part of, and we are to understand it's still part of, the original creation from Genesis 1:1, but that's not the case if you look at the original Hebrew language. Genesis 1 chapter 2 says in the King James, the earth was without form. Now, in verse 1, it didn't say the earth was without form. It says the earth had form. And the sky and the heavens were there as an arch above the land. But here it says the earth was without form and void. Now void means it was destroyed. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then it says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. If you look in Strong's, where it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, it has some words there. Eretz is earth, tohu. The word tohu means was laid waste. A desolation, a desert, it was a worthless thing, in confusion, an empty place, without form. Nothing not vain, vanity, waste, wilderness. And then just to really emphasize the point, the next word is also the same as the first word. And this was a custom in the Hebrew language. If they wanted to really emphasize something to us, they said it not once but twice. Tohu, tohu. You know, the earth was created and the heavens were there, the beginning, and everything was in order and well. It's the implication of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. But then in verse 2, the earth was tohu, tohu. That was just ripped and torn completely asunder. And then it has the word following tohu, tohu, bohu. And bohu means empty, vacuity, an undistinguishable ruin, emptiness and void. And so here you find in verse 2, the earth became tohu, tohu, bohu. Everything was destroyed from off of the face of the deep. And that's what happened at the end of Genesis chapter 1, or the beginning of Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, to the earth. And so there's an intervening period of time then in which the earth lies waste. We don't know how long that period of time was. Nothing that we can find tells us that. But at some point, God sets about to restore the earth. And he will, following that, or as a part of that restoration, create Adam and Eve, man and woman, and all of the creatures that are talked about in the 7 days of creation. But all of this happened that we just covered before the beginning of the 7 days of creation. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What's the first event in the restoration of the earth? Nothing happened until this occurred. And this is, Moses records the first event. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. As we look at that, that was sort of the precondition for everything else that followed. It set the events in place of everything subsequently that followed. And this is something that we will see if we look at water as a symbol and what happens in the earth today. We can see that nothing happens in God's church or family or among the peoples of the earth until the Spirit of God moves on the waters first. Here it says in John 15 and verse 26, nobody knew this at this time. When the Comforter, Christ, is explaining to his disciples about the coming of God's Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God would come, and it had not come generally to mankind. It wasn't that it was absent, because we saw it happen. It was there in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. The first event in the restoration of the earth after all of this destruction had occurred, when Satan was thrown to the earth. When the Comforter is come, when God's Holy Spirit, which Christ identifies as being called the Comforter, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. And there's some indication here that people want to make this into a scripture that confirms the existence of a Trinity. But it really doesn't confirm the existence of the Trinity. And in fact, there's a great deal of information which proves in the Bible that there is no such thing as a Trinity. Sometime maybe we might want to give a sermon just on that. But the word Trinity does not occur in the Bible. It doesn't occur in the Bible, nor in all the greetings that Paul sends to all of the churches, does he deliver a greeting from the Holy Spirit. Now, I just thought of all the ways that the Holy Spirit could refuse to send greetings to the churches. After God the Father and Jesus Christ, all of the books of Paul, he sends greetings to every one of the churches from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, but never one time from the Holy Spirit. Now, maybe the Holy Spirit was just mad at the churches. I don't know. Nevertheless, he didn't. So it's kind of an indication that the Holy Spirit is not a person who sends greetings, but it is a power of God the Father in which it moves across the face of the waters and begins the process of reconstruction of the earth. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We're looking at here in these verses of Scripture a duality. Satan cast from heaven. The earth became very dark and destroyed. Today we preach the gospel to all the peoples on the face of the earth, but in preaching that gospel, no matter how hard we try, until God's Spirit moves on the face of the waters across the people, we don't get results. So that's the end of as far as I'm going to go with the sermonette here, and we'll relate in some ways to this information when we give the sermon.